Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
So prepare your heart for the glorious things that God has for us in this meeting. So today I want to talk about, remember I told you it's the call, you know, and I'll be talking about the call to manifesting God's power, carriers of God's power, the call to manifesting God's power. And I'll talk about two dimensions of this and hope that if you can harness this, you'll be able to push yourself into new heights and greater dimensions of God's grace in Jesus' name. Now, the concept of divine power is the foundational understanding of God's sovereignty, that God is sovereign. God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. If you get to understand the concept of God's power, you'll be able to see it from a different light, so that so many people are aware of the supernatural dimension of God's power, but they are not aware of the other side of God's power, which is what I'm about to share. And that's the reason why whenever they talk about the power of God, the only thing people usually will think of most of the times is the supernatural of maybe heal the sick, deliver the oppressed, cast out devils and all that. And sometimes if you have only that, you are being myopic, you are one-sided. You do not understand the fullness of the manifestation of God's power. So that when you see a dimension of God's power being operated, and it's a general dimension of God's power by the people of the world, you begin to feel like, oh, the people of the world are getting it. They are doing it, even though they are not using God's power. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Now, so you attribute whatever it is that they are doing to some other force, some other source, because you assume in your mind that it is not God's power. So this teaching will explore the nature of God's power, how it governs the universe, the distinction between godly and ungodly manifestations of God's power, and the believer's mandate to operate the divine power of God. When Jesus was on the face of planet Earth, please listen attentively, I'll be teaching this morning. He said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and upon all the works of the enemy, and that nothing shall by any means hurt you." He was speaking about the supernatural dimension of God's power. There is another dimension of God's power that is revealed in Scripture that can make you a high flyer, that can cause you to stand out. And this is the dimension of God's power that many people have been able to explore over the ages, and they've been able to build institutions. The kind of power that I'm talking about now is the power with which you build institutions, the power with which civilization is created, the power with which you reign and you rule on the seven mountains of influence. Not even the supernatural dimensions, but the wisdom dimension. Are we here together? So let me start by saying, all power belongs to who? God. The power that scientists use to discover things, inventions, they make wristwatches, they make phones, they're able to do all manner of things. Who would you attribute that power to? That wisdom, that intelligence, who would you attribute it to? Who? God. So let's say it's a scientist that is a Buddhist. What if it's a scientist that is an atheist? You know, many scientists, some good number of scientists are artists. Initially, most of the inventions we see on the face of planet Earth, majority of them were by Christian scientists. Then over time, we began to see that somehow many other people, even some of them were nominal Christians anyway, but God, you know, chose to release a dimension of his wisdom through them. Now, that dimension of wisdom that is released through them, it is also called what? Power. Why? The last time I check, you realize a popular saying by Francis Bacon that wisdom is what? But many of the times when we talk about power, we're not talking about wisdom. We're usually talking about supernatural, devils, you know, blind and all that. But there is a power dimension that is operated on the face of planet Earth that has to do with the wisdom of God. And that's why the Bible says Christ has been made unto us both what? The wisdom and the power of God. Are we here together? So if a scientist that is a Christian is able to invent something, maybe a speaker, and it begins to function, who has that power? God. If the scientist is an atheist, or the scientist is a demon worshiper, and he's able to provide an invention that has to do with maybe a phone or a wristwatch or something beautiful, who has that power? But he's supposed to be a demon worshiper. Who has the power? Why do you say God owns that power? Yeah. Because all power belongs to God. Now, that explains a very simple thing to you. That in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he made everything. It was by wisdom. The Bible says by wisdom. Go to the book of Proverbs chapter 8. Let me show you this. I just want to establish a few things. Just before you go to Proverbs chapter 8, let me establish this first. Psalm 62 verse 11. Let me give you the scripture. Psalm 62 verse 11, so that I can move to the second part of it. God has spoken once, and twice I have heard that power belongs to who? Power belongs to who? And when you say God is omnipotent, it means that he is all powerful. That means all the powers in the universe, seen and unseen, known and unknown, the ones yet to be discovered, they all belong to who? God. The power that the herbalist uses that power to get people to see things or to do things for people. Who owns that power? Who owns the power? How did the herbalist assess the power? Is he a prayer warrior? Does he have relationship with God? Is he saved? How did he assess the power? Amen. Daniel chapter 2, 20 to 21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might." Another word for that might there is power. Is that not? Wisdom and might are what? They are his. Remember, Daniel was in a territory where they had astrologers, magicians, sorcerers, necromancers, stargazers, and the Bible said that Daniel was made the head of all of them. The reason he was made the head of all of them is because the wisdom that was found in Daniel, none of them was able to manifest that dimension of wisdom. So what Daniel was ruling with in the land of Babylon was not exactly supernatural power, although supernatural power was manifest in his life. That's physical. The lion could not eat him, you know, and all that. They were not burned by fire. But the dimension that really kept Daniel was the wisdom dimension of God's power. The dimension that gave him edge in the land of Babylon was the wisdom of the dimension of God's wisdom, the power of God that is called what? Wisdom. So let me get back to explain that if a herbalist and a witchcraft and somebody does something, that power does not belong to them because they did not create themselves. Satan operates with limited power. To the extent that he can do something, he will do it. When Moses threw down his rod, the rod of Moses became a serpent. The magicians threw down their rod became what? Serpents. Now, demons and devils assist the magicians to turn rod to serpents. Then God is working with Moses to turn rod to serpent. Who created demons and magicians? Who is the original source of making anything to become anything? Because he's the I am that what? But at the fall of man, there was a corruption of everything. And the power that God handed over to Lucifer and the angels and all the things they could do, did God take it away from them? But whenever they do anything now in their fallen state, who takes the glory? Who takes the glory? And when a believer does something like Daniel did in the Babylon, who is he attributing the glory to? So despite the fact that God owns all the power, both the one that Daniel is using and the one that demons of darkness and witches and wizards are using, the problem is not the power. The problem is who takes the glory. Who's credited whenever that thing happens? And that's the reason why you will see that a herbalist is doing something and it is working. You see that it is working, but you don't go to him. Because when it works, he moves the glory to the devil. They are prince of angels that fell first and led all of them. So Satan takes that glory. And that's the reason why if a believer fraternizes with them, God said to the children of Israel, he said, don't ever fraternize with them. Don't go to the witches. Don't go to the sorcerers. Don't go to the witch doctors. Because truly they manifest a dimension of my power. It has been corrupted. I read for you the story in Isaiah and Ezekiel. He said, by the multitude of your merchandising, you have corrupted your wisdom. In other words, the wisdom is still there, but you have what? You have corrupted. And the corruption is that you have taken the glory that ought to go to God to yourself. Because now you are fallen, you are corrupt, you are dark, you are no longer working with God. So everything that the devil does now, with all the wisdom and sophistication and intelligence that the demons of darkness work with, they give all the glory to who? Satan. But when we walk, we give the glory to who? God. And that's the reason why the believer does not consult with them. Because even though what they are doing can work, even though a herbalist, somebody can be going through a particular thing, and they take the person to a herbalist. How many of us have seen those people who do bones? Bones. If somebody has issue with their bone, is that not? And you have gone to the medical doctors, they didn't do anything, everything, you know, tried orthopedic, it didn't work. Then all of a sudden they went to a particular woman. And the woman begins to, she brings maybe some leaves and she gets oil and she gets some things. You don't know all the condiments. Are we here together? Now, the question is, how did the woman know about those condiments that will make up what will make fasten or hasten the process of healing? How did the woman know about those things? Or the man who does it? Lucifer has corrupted his wisdom. These people at night or at daytime has consulted with devil spirits that came into agreement with them that they are setting this will be helping you to do. We'll be showing you some dimensions of the power of God that we know of, that we can operate with, so that when you do these things and it works, people will see that God is not as powerful as he thinks, so they will start coming to us. And who takes the glory whenever that bone goes for? The person that is healed hardly cannot come to church to say thank you Jesus, because he knows that he didn't get that healing from here. He got it from this other source, and the devil is glorified. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? You go to the village, like when we went to bury my dad. I'm going to talk about the power dimension. I will talk to me wisdom dimension this morning, but let me just help you. When we went to bury my dad, some people came to the house and they said that we have to just give them some money or else rain will scatter everywhere. We'll just do rubbish here. And they said they were going to come. They didn't come to the house. They said they were going to come to the house, that we should prepare for them. I should get something quick so that we can give to them. And I said, what? Give them what? They said, we should not forget all these Christians that you are doing. Pastor, these people will make rain fall. We will not hold any barrier here. We know them. And you know, the devil's strategy is always fear. My elder brother was just in, and I said, let's forget all those things. Leave them. If the rain falls, glory be to God. If it doesn't fall, leave it. Let's see how the rain will fall and disturb this one today. And they were very angry. They were pissed. They said all manner of things. You know, because that's what they do. They collect money from people. At the end of the day, if they come there, we give them that money, they will say that they are the ones that helped us to achieve success at that burial. The reason the rain did not fall. Now, the truth is that, are they rainmakers? Yes, so. They have leaves that they conjure. Who taught them? Demon spirits. Demon spirits, you need to understand how the spiritual realm has become. There are devils everywhere that are working, doing many things. Different levels of sophistication, ideas, depths. Even scientists, some of them operate with certain dimensions of what God would have loved to reveal, but it was not, the demons try to hasten things so that they will be the first to show something and the glory eventually goes to them instead of coming to God. So we insisted that I'm not giving them anything. At the end of the day, the rain did not come. They were very disappointed. Very, very disappointed. Because what they used to do is that they would get people scared, and when the rain starts like that, all of a sudden, and the cloud was really shifting, but we didn't look at the cloud. And before you know it, when the cloud shifts like that, everybody just quickly, you know, here, call them. They'll call the guy, they'll put some leaf somewhere, and truly, sir, the rain will move. Demons, devils, people consult with certain demons and spirits that can help them shift the hand of the weather. But who is the creator of heaven and earth? Demons and darkness, can they manipulate things? Yes. But does power belong to them? The power they used to manipulate, does it belong to them? It is the power that belongs to God that they have now corrupted. And that's why God told the children of Israel, don't fraternize. When I give something, I don't take it. It might be corrupt. They might suffer. They would perish. But don't fraternize with them. Now that is to help some of us who are already consulting one thing or the other. They will take you somewhere and say, forget about that. You are the one that is saying Jesus. As far as the thing has been done, the end justifies the means. No, the end doesn't justify the means. If the glory will not go to God, if the name of Jesus will not be exalted, it is not part of what the believer has business with. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Because in the last days, many things will begin to unveil, many things will begin to happen, and you begin to wonder, why exactly are things happening like this? People consult with demon spirits that give them wisdom and intelligence to structure their businesses and run it at a very high profile level. I hope you are aware. So let's establish that God is the source of all power, spiritual, natural, and supernatural. There is the spiritual power. There is the natural power. The natural power is part of what I'm going to discuss now. The power that hangs around nature. The power with which nature works. There is a power with which nature works. So that naturally, if A and B is put together, without any demonic interference, without consulting any devil or any altar, it will work. Whether you are a believer or unbeliever. So that is natural. There is the spiritual dimension of it that requires the connection and attachment to demon spirits. Then there is a supernatural that has to do with God, that has to do with healing the sick, raising the dead, you know, blind eyes seeing, lame walking, and all that. So that natural part of God's power is what I'm about to talk about. Many believers trivialize it. Many believers don't pay attention to it. Many believers look at it and they feel like there's nothing there. And that's why somebody comes tomorrow and they say unbelievers are really succeeding. Look at, they are doing well. But believers, it is because we have left the power of God that he has given to us originally. Have you not read in the Bible? The Bible says that by wisdom, by great planning, an institution can be built. Is it your Bible? By wisdom is a house built. By understanding and strategic thinking, the house, the chambers are filled. Through wisdom is a house built. Do TLB or message or something. Any enterprise is built by what? Wise planning. That means there is a power behind wise planning that builds enterprise. There is a power behind wise planning that builds what? An enterprise. He said it becomes strong through common sense. Now, another word there, apart from common sense, is the application of wisdom too. And profits wonderfully by keeping abreast with what? Facts. Now put the message translation. Please listen. Somebody's life is about to turn around. When light comes, darkness disappears. When you gain understanding, everything begins to change. Are you getting what I'm saying here? It takes wisdom to build a house and understanding to set it on its firm foundation. They build bridges on water and it's standing. What secret is that? Huh? That's wisdom. That's wisdom of architecture. Are we here together? Building, construction. And God gave men the wisdom to do it because God knows that both believers and unbelievers alike will need bridge. So whether it comes from a believer or an unbeliever, bridge has to be built because God supports civilization and he wants things to change. God will give wisdom to men to make phones, whether they are born again or they are not born again. Even if they consult with demon spirits to get all their calculations right and make the phone work, no problem. God will still ride on the wings of that phone to achieve the propagation of the gospel. Because ultimately, all power belongs to who? God. These are some of the things that believers don't pay attention to. And that's the reason why you see a lot of believers, they speak in tongues, they can be firebrand. They can do so much in the kingdom when it comes to manifesting a lot of, you know, dimensions of God. But they don't understand that this tongue that we speak, this power that we exude, this grace that God has deposited in our lives and all that, it can be translated to a dimension of God's power that is called what? Wisdom. Because without wisdom, a house cannot be built. Without wisdom, lives cannot be built. Without wisdom, marriages will not work. And their wisdom, the wisdom of God, is in different strata, different dimensions, different areas. And a believer is expected to do good diligence to explore the wisdom of God if you are going to have a life of all-round victory. Or else you can be born again, tongue speaking, firebrand, and your unbeliever friend will be feeding you. And he's applying a wisdom. He didn't consult with any demon. He didn't consult with any devil. He didn't consult with witches and wizards. But if you look at him very well, you'll see that there are certain dimensions of wisdom, natural wisdom, that he's applying that you are not applying. You are sitting down, you are praying and fasting and speaking in tongues, and he sits up and he's applying wisdom, searching and doing due diligence online, struggling to study things, read many things, and next week he will feed you. Is it wrong to pray and fast? And no, that's why we're here. But there's a balance because God said both wisdom and power. So that when you explore both, it gives you an edge and an advantage. But when you stay on one side, it will look as if you are disadvantaged. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? There are a few areas I'm going to explore today. I want to pay attention seriously. There are many dimensions of God's wisdom, but I'll pay attention to a few areas. If you get these things, by the time we are done praying, I'll give us a 30-minute session where you will sit alone and you will start thinking 2025. Just write on your paper 2025. You will see what will happen to you. The reason many people have never explored anything in their lives is that key called planning. You enter a new year without planning. You enter a marriage without planning. You start a business without planning. You will enter university without planning and knowing whatever you want to come out with. Failure is what will meet that person. And an unbeliever wakes up and is about to go to start a work with an organization. And he has told himself that in 7 years, I'll be in so-so position in this organization. And he begins to work at it massively. And you are born again. You enter the organization. No vision, no plan, nothing. You just say, well, let's just be making money. God will help us as we are praying. God, everything, God will help us. God will help us. God will help us. And God is saying, I have helped you. Pay attention to my natural wisdom. It is just, no, you don't need any demon. You don't need any supernatural force. You don't need any special intervention. If an unbeliever operates it, he will excel. If a believer operates it, he will excel. But when the believer excels, he attributes all the glory and honor for his success to who? God. When the unbeliever excels, he does not attribute it to God. He attributes it to what we discussed yesterday, to humanism. That my mind, my intelligence, my strength has created this. And that was exactly what Nebuchadnezzar did when he had built Babylon. Babylon was so massive. Babylon was so strong. It was the world power in their day. And Nebuchadnezzar said, no, look at what my hand has done. And God said, what? Did I just hear that? I'll see how your hand made it happen. And God sent him to the bush for 7 years to eat grass. Left his throne. Nobody sat on the throne. Who was king of Babylon when Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar was eating grass? Daniel was still there. And nobody, none of them could go and sit down on the throne and say, we are now the king. Yet the guy was eating grass. After eating grass for 7 years, and it came out, when he got everything, if you read it, Daniel, if you hear what he said, he said, now I agree that all power belongs to who? God. He puts one down and he takes another one up. Even Nebuchadnezzar, a hidden king, after he had gone through his process, he had to turn to ascribe all glory to God. The reason you are boasting about the wisdom is because you didn't run mad while you were pressing into it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That's why the unbeliever can make noise like that. But when the tweak comes on that brain, you just discover that the only thing, the difference between a sane mind and an insane mind is just a little tweak. Is anybody getting what I'm saying this morning? Any manifestation of power in the universe ultimately derives from God, whether they acknowledge it or they don't acknowledge it. I told you that you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, the constellation, everything in nature, and the way it moves, and you know, direction. Every dimension of God's power that you, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, listen to this. Every dimension of God's power that science can explain, it can only be explained because it is a natural dimension of God's power that God would want them to explain. So it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of kings to do what? Search it out. So should you give credit to the person who searched it out, or give credit to the person who concealed such a glorious thing? The person who can make, the scientist did not make anything. All he's doing is to search out. You don't understand what I'm saying? After he's done searching it out, then God puts wisdom. Oh yeah, put this together. And they begin to put things together. At the end of the day, they believe that it is by their power that they have done that. The same man that is putting that thing together, if God decides that he will end and not put it together, another person will take over. Does it happen? There are many scientists that have started a particular invention, and when God saw their behavior, some of them, he just shut them down. Another person took over. The glory never went to that person. So the power you see in creation, the natural laws, and even spiritual miracles, they reflect the ultimate authority and wisdom of God. The foundation of understanding divine power is acknowledged that all power originates from God, whether seen in nature, science, or the supernatural. Whether it is seen in nature, in science, or the supernatural, all power comes from who? God. Every display of power is a derivative of the power that flows from the Almighty God. He alone deserves all the praise. And the two dimensions of God's power, number one dimension of God's power is the wisdom of God. And the second one is the supernatural acts of God. The wisdom of God and the supernatural acts of God. I'm going to focus this morning on the wisdom of God. God's power is intricately woven into his wisdom, enabling his creation to function through laws and principles that govern the universe. These laws and principles that govern the universe, scientists have discovered them. Sir Isaac Newton, look, and he discovered the law of gravity. Is that not? Motion, some of the laws of motion. Are we here together now? And he woke up one day and he discovered that whenever they throw something up, it comes down. The question he started asking is why? Then eventually discovered that there is a gravitational pull. There is a law on the face of planet Earth that is called the law of gravity. So that anything anybody throws up must surely come down. That law operates on planet Earth. It does not operate in some other planets. In some other planets, the ability to float is what you will experience there. Anything around there, things don't even survive. Some things cannot survive in some planets, but it can survive in the planet Earth. Now, it's because they are on the face of planet Earth, they are able to discover some of these things. And these things they discover in nature is simply a reflection of the wisdom of God, coded wisdom of God, hidden wisdom of God, kept. They are not kept for eternity. They are kept for a season, because God is the creator of seasons, times, dispensations. And whenever a particular dispensation opens up, God says, this is what this dispensation will operate with for now. Then another dispensation is opening up. God says, I will allow them use a phone that has like Motorola. You know those Motorola? I don't know if somebody met Motorola. Giant phones like that. You know, that is what this dispensation will enjoy. After this particular one, 15 to 20, 30 years later, there will be another time where the phone would have come in another way. And it will be looking like the other type we use, from those big, big giant phones to smaller ones. Some of the smaller ones still don't have the functionalities that the ones we have now have. Are we here together? And you come from that level, you move to another dimension where you discover that you are holding your phones on your hand right now. Are we here together? A time will come where there is a possibility that you don't need to hold your phone on your hand. Your phone will be implanted into your body as a chip. And all you need to do is to click the numbers from your brain. Your brain will be calculating it. You will type it 08052556666 and you say call, and it will call. And you'll be talking to the person you are talking from here to another place. It is not magic. It is not sorcery. It is the wisdom of God that God has planted for different dispensations. These things will operate. Do you want to have an intelligent church? Are you guys getting what I'm saying here? When you go to the book of Revelation, you see so many things that Daniel saw. Many of the things that Daniel saw, he said, I saw a particular animal with tail flying, and he had two eyes, and he had like a feather. That thing looks like an helicopter. But in the dispensation that Daniel lived in, he could not capture that thing is an aeroplane or helicopter, because where they lived in, it is practically impossible to figure out that there will be anything called aeroplane or helicopter. So in the revelation God gave to Daniel, what he was seeing was aeroplane or helicopter, but in his own time, it looked like a grasshopper or something in their dispensation. So he explained and he called those things. I saw a big grasshopper with a tail and all that. Sir, aeroplane is what he's talking. Helicopter is what he's talking. Only time has moved from one face to another, and we see that what that man saw is different. I saw a big with seven head, and as he's saying, he saw this one with seven head, and he saw a tower reaching even up to the sky and entering into heaven. And when he said entering into heaven, he didn't necessarily enter heaven. When you go to Dubai, you see some of those giant tower. If you look, it's as if they are meeting heaven. That was what Daniel was seeing. But the explanation he could give was based on the dispensation that he was in and the limitation of his mind at that time. But God gave him access to see into the future. So when he saw it, he said, Kai, what he saw. The same thing we see today, and we cannot even say Kai. We just say, ah, wow, nice, nice. Daniel saw it and it was a mystery. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Laws of physics, gravity, aerodynamics, law of flotation, thermodynamics, electromagnetic inductions, all these are natural laws that God has placed already in nature, that with time men will begin to know them. Just let's take an example of the spiritual part. The Bible says this thing has been hidden in ages. All the fathers did not understand it. And what is it that they did not understand? The multifaceted dimension of God's wisdom that is hidden. Then one of that wisdom is that Christ will be in men. And it will be the hope of one day that they will be teleported in glory with him. That is the explanation Paul could give. And they understood in their time. Because the best that their dispensation knew was what they were exposed to. One generation will see a dimension. Another one will see another dimension. The fathers did not know it was possible one day for God to live inside men like that. But Paul said, this thing I am sharing with you is a mystery that God has kept long in ages. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now being revealed to his word saints. In other words, the wisdom existed, but God hid it from that generation. And in the fullness of time, he released that wisdom. And we are recipients of that one. If Christ tarries, there will be a generation. I tell you, there will be a generation. Hear me. There will be a generation where people will not need aeroplanes to fly. They will stay in their room here, decide where they are going, calculate it, and they will teleport. Watch. If Christ tarries, he knows when to draw the line. There will be a dispensation that will try to compress time. And the Bible says in the last days, knowledge shall increase. Men will begin to run to and fro. They will begin to see things and they will say, yes, this is it. At that point, the man of sin will now exalt himself. Then instead of giving the glory to God, they will now start giving the glory to man and self.
And the Bible says the man of destruction, the man of sin, the Lucifer himself, he will now discredit everything that is God and sit in the position of God and announce himself as God. The time, all those things will happen. Hebrews chapter 11, let me show you this so that you can understand what I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way. Eka vila baros kabrande lebane mana kabasonte lebaya. Of wisdom I choose the way of the Lord. Let's do Hebrew 13. I think it is Hebrew 13. I want to be very sure. From verse 1, is it? Okay. Is it Hebrew 11? Hebrews 11. Let me look at from verse 1. I've not started my teaching. I don't know what. Let's see. From verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, listen now. By faith, we understand. That means this needs a dimension of your mind opening up to see. Are we here together? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. In other words, the things that you see physically now, they did not come from the things that existed, physical substance like sand and stone and rocks. No, they came from where? Words. Because he said, by faith we understand that the whole world was framed by the word of God. Check the Hebrew meaning of this word worlds. It is not the same thing as cosmos. The word here is aeon. And the word aeon means the forever ages, the dispensations. That means the stone age was framed by God. He spoke that there will be an age called the stone age and that age. Then he spoke again that there will be another age that will move out of stone age. And it will be the age of machines and all that. He entered. Until we get to this age of knowledge now, this particular one, every dispensation you are seeing today, not even the sun, the moon, and the stars, God has calculated all those things and kept them in order. Then he used his mouth to frame the various dispensations that we will live in till the last one will come where the trumpet will sound. He has framed it. As a matter of fact, he did not only just frame dispensation for men, he has framed eternal ages. That is why he is the rock of ages. Are you getting what I'm saying? All the ages and the dispensations that men will live in, one by one, till the day the trumpet of God will sound. After that one, another age will open up. The age of men who will live eternally in hell, and the age of men who will live eternally in heaven. The eternal age and the celestial age. Every single thing has been framed by the word of God already. There is nothing new God is doing. He concluded the whole work from the beginning. Are you getting what I'm saying? I want us to understand the God that we serve, the God of the Bible, because if this does not help you, when things begin to go south, it will be easy for you to follow others you are seeing online. Why we are beginning to bring some dimensions of the knowledge into the church is because the people in the church, a lot are ignoramus. They are very ignorant. They are just going about their business, their work, and their career until everything will overtake them. And some people who sound like they are very intelligent and smart, who have spent a lot of time researching things, they will try to confuse a lot of believers, because in the last days knowledge shall increase. But don't forget that the Bible says in these same last days the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted. And that is why God in this new generation will not be using, mark my word, will not necessarily be using non-intellectuals. He will look for people that are intelligent and are willing to search out wisdom, search out knowledge. They are the people that will be mounting pulpits all over the world, because in the last days, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of our times. So if you want to be a pastor in this generation, get ready for hard work. It's not a time where you sit down and you just come and lie rubbish to people and everybody will believe. time is coming where pastors will begin to study things on thermodynamics, understanding physics, laws of biology, so that when things are happening in church, after the miracle, bah, 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 you open your eyes again. Everybody goes home and they say, Kai, what a service. No devil will come and deceive us from anywhere again. Because in knowledge we are established, and in power we gain grounds. Does anybody get what I'm saying to them? And that's why, for many of us who are not aware, the university is God's breeding ground for the men of the next dispensation. Yes, I can tell you the truth. That's it. Say, Pastor, how about that? Well, there will be some places where they will still influence. But in the real civilization where men of intelligence rule and reign, you will see the difference. You cannot put a Stone Age person in a civilized world. If he communicates the gospel, to believe him will be difficult. In fact, they will say he's a magician. He's doing miracle, but they'll say he's what? A magician. So God will have to balance wisdom and power. So that if you are calling him a magician, how will you beat the intelligence of his, what is even explaining, that is so practical for everybody to see? Are we getting what I'm saying here? Laws of chemistry, Avogadro's principles, laws of definite proportion. I'll show you how Jesus has beaten all those laws in the evening service. We're going to have a wonderful worship time in the evening service, about 1 hour. So come early, make sure you're part of it, because I'm going to teach first. After I'm done teaching, we'll now soak in that dimension of worship. Some of you will begin to see light in the areas that God is calling you to in 2025 and beyond. Not just 2025, beyond. God will begin to give us intelligence and sight. Some of you, the structure of the business you will build, God will give you a 7, 8, 10 years plan. Yeah. I speak before the sight of God, who has told me about it already in my prayer time, that he will start opening the eyes of people, so that you will look, you will remember that it was at that meeting this thing came. This thing that has turned my life around and has made me such a sign and a wonder. It was just in that meeting. Because I'm bringing you from a dimension, trying to show you higher dimensions and possibilities. They already exist in God. All you need to do is to open up your heart and type and pipe into it, because something is about to happen. Mediocres will not go far in the next dispensation. Only men of excellence, men of extra mile, men who are willing to give the best. Is anybody getting what I'm saying now? The laws of biology and medicine, natural healing process, traditional medicine, and breakthrough in medical science. You know, our fathers will use herb and leaves, and they still use it. Evil spirits taught some people how to do those things. You see all those people that mix leaves, all those alagbo. Some of them, they are natural leaves that you can mix, and malaria will disappear, because the herbs are given for the healings of the world nations. But demons came and thought men, so they do beyond herbs, like they do Yahoo plus. So what they do is herbs plus. That's what you are seeing now, is herbs plus. So that the person that is selling the herbs probably knows some other things that they would dispute. And by the time they were trying to get some herbs that are difficult to get, when they entered the forest, some of them covenanted with some forces that assisted them through the journey, and they brought those herbs. Do you know where they bring some of those things from? From dark forest. And they put it for people to drink. And when you start drinking some of those things, there is a pull to always drink it, always drink it, always drink it. You don't know why. Does it mean that God doesn't work with herbs? He works with herbs. Natural, pure, normal one. If it is the one, you can prove how they got it and what you did with it. Yes. That's why we eat vegetables. And that's why when people eat vegetables, they live longer. Are we getting what I'm trying to say here now? Yes. Because there is a natural detoxification process and cleansing that all these things we do in the human system. Let's move a little bit into the things we really want to discuss today. So like I said, science only discovers what God has put in place. So the glory should be given to, not to the scientists, even though they should be honored for what they have discovered. Although the men can be praised for what they have done, they are not creating anything. They are only discovering the possibilities that God has kept, and he's giving them wisdom to make it happen. In Proverbs 25 verse 2, the Bible says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, it is the honor of kings to set it out. Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 29, put it on the screen. Deuteronomy 29:29, put it on the screen please. If your neighbor is sleeping, wake them up, wake them up. It says, the secret things belong to who? Belong to who? You're not, everybody read it together, I want to go now.
But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. Can you see that now? Is it clear? Do we understand secret things belong to God? Things that are revealed belong to men? So that a man discovers something, he should not brag. It's God that gave you the privilege to find it, because in a dispensation, he wants that thing to come out. If he does anything God does not want the dispensation to know, they will never know it. It will still be hidden. Because the secret things belong to what? God. Let's move a little further. So the Bible says the world was framed by the word of God. It is the word that was framed by the word that brought the physical universe and the unseen realms, including time and history, into existence. Faith as understanding. This verse emphasizes that believers have understanding and grab divine truth, not through observation, but by faith, acknowledging the creative power of God of the things that God has spoken. Same way you see AI. How many of us see the artificial intelligence and how it's moving right now? Advancement in artificial intelligence, advancement in tech, will usher us into the age of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is that dispensation that will see the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot tell the exact time, but the times, the signs we are beginning to see. Daniel chapter 4 from verse 1. Open it, let me show you this. Daniel chapter 12 from verse 1. Daniel chapter 12 from verse 1. Daniel chapter 12 from verse 1. You can do NKJV. If I need NLT, I'll tell you any other one. He said, at that time, listen now, at that time, Michael shall stand up. Now, what Daniel is reading now, the things that were given to him in a dispensation that he lived, the future had been given to him. That is how some of you will sit here. The future of your life will be given to you. If Daniel can see 200, 1,000 years, 2,000 years into the future, why can't you see the 30 years or 40 or 50 or 60, 80 years that you are going to live here? That is the smallest thing that God can reveal to us. But it is by faith that we will receive it. It says, by faith we understand that the dispensations were created by God, so that the things which are seen, they did not come from the things that already existed. By faith we understand that Marvin saw 50, 60, 80 years of his life and began to plan himself and walked in every step of it until he got to the finish line. By faith. By faith you can see. Somebody's eye will open in this service and you'll start seeing the future. Some of you will have a clear model of how your marriage will be, how your children will be, a clear picture of how your business institutions will begin to rise. I declare the spirit of wisdom and revelation and vision rest upon people in the name of Jesus. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. So Michael is that prince that watch over the sons of people. And there shall be a time of what? Trouble. The Bible says perilous times shall come, such as never was seen. There was, since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Listen now. Everyone who is found written in the book, they shall be what? Delivered. It shows you that this is the end of age coming. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Listen, Daniel was in an old dispensation, talking the same thing that Paul was writing, that in the last days, those who are dead in Christ, they will rise again. How did Daniel know? Where did Daniel see it from? That is the spirit of scripture. That is, shows you the potency and the power of scripture. At the time Daniel was here, when this thing was written, Paul was not yet born. At the time this was happening, they had people like, what do you call his name now? This scientist, Pythagoras. These are the dispensations of the men. The Pythagoras theorem. Some of the things Pythagoras wrote and saw, some of them learned from great men and deep scientists like Daniel. Daniel was an exceptional scientist. He was an intelligent guru. No king could do without Daniel in his days. Ancient wisdom. When they say ancient wisdom of Babylon, Daniel was the chairman of the whole people there. You don't understand what I'm saying now. The ancient wisdom of Babylon, you see, that they talk about, that they went to get it from Babylon and Egypt. Daniel was the one in charge of Babylon, controlling things, directing things. And the spirit that worked in Daniel is the one inside of you. And that's why you can say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
That's why we must press and contend for these realities, because they still exist, and there's no power mantle that God has released in the face of the earth that he's taking back from anywhere. That's a mantle of the wisdom of Daniel to build structures, to raise nations, to take over territories, to stand tall and never be irrelevant. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. How I hate mediocrity. How I hate it. God knows that in my heart I hate it. And I refuse to settle for less. Never settle for less. There's so much in this God. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life. Daniel is preaching gospel. Some to the shame and everlasting what? Contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Those who are what? Wise. Those who are what? Wise. They shall shine like the brightness of what? So in this last dispensation we are in, one of the major things you must be willing to walk with in this dispensation is what? Wisdom. I've told you, he said by wisdom, he said wisdom, it will be the stability of our times. Don't go and sit down somewhere. They are rising with many inventions in tech and everything. You sit down there and you are still trying to do one old school thing in your village. You better wake up. Time will leave you behind if you don't do anything about life. And those who turn many to righteousness, can you see now? Those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is where soul winning comes in. That in this dispensation, our wisdom is not for ourselves. We will use our wisdom to start attracting people. They will see our intelligence. They will see the structures we built. They will see the institutions we built. They will see how we entered the marketplace as apostles and taking over the scene. And many will begin to come to our God. And in the last days, the mountains of the Lord's house shall be exalted and nations shall flow into it. They will say, come and show us the wisdom of your God. Come and teach us the wisdom of your God. I declare everyone under the sound of my voice, you shall be custodians of this wisdom. I say you are custodians of this wisdom. You are custodians of this intelligence in the name of Jesus. When their marriage is failed and it's not working again, they will ask what is written in our book. We must show them. Are you hearing what I'm saying here now? When their businesses begin to crumble because of the wickedness of their hearts, trying to cut corner and gain, in medicine they will start planting things that will destroy men. Men will rise and say, no, show us the God of integrity so that we can practice medicine without fault, without flaws. We will not plan to destroy men. Rather, we will plan that men will be healed and delivered for true. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you will be part of those doctors, those engineers, those lawyers, those people that will rise. You will not be left behind in the name of Jesus. They will ask to know of the wisdom that controls our territory, because our God will begin to pour out his wisdom upon his people afresh. It says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. The spirit of God, go and check the seven spirits of God. One of them is the spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel. They will need counsel, they will come to you. You see what I'm saying? The wisdom of the world will fail. The wisdom of this world will fail. And they will look for the wisdom of our God. And they that know their God, they shall shine like the brightness of the sun. They that be wise, they will stand. And this wisdom is the wisdom of God. That's why when Jesus was born, God considered to also make him wisdom, not only power. Church, we must make sure we begin to plan ourselves. Don't sit down here and just relax. Ask yourself, what is happening now? You are not here to watch things happen. You are here to make things happen. And I don't care how you feel like, do I have the kind of brain? There is a spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty. Give it him understanding. It will happen. Gradually, you are beginning to see that this meeting is not ordinary. It's an ordination. And that is how it will continue to climax. Because this will be a platform for the revelation of some kind of truth that we will reign with. Because this is how we will reign with him. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Yes. The Bible says here, go back to Daniel. Daniel, just sit for a while. Daniel, please, time. He said, but you, Daniel, see what he told him. Shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end.
many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase.
AI, see what AI does. The same AI that people are seeing, and some say, maybe it has danger or something. There might be a dangerous side. But let me tell you, anything anybody does in this world that has a dangerous side, God will convert it to his own glory. And the sons and daughters of God will be able to manipulate it and use it in such a way that kingdom of darkness will regret ever creating it. You know how God told me it will happen? He said the same thing he did when Jesus was going to be born. Had the princes of this world known, they would never have crucified the Christ. If they had known that this invention that they plan to use to destroy the whole world, that it will bring light and establish the church, they would never have made that up. But they have made it, and they have made their worst mistakes. Sons and daughters of Zion will rise upon the wings of technology, upon the wings of media, upon the wings of all entertainment, and the same thing they created, we will use to propagate the gospel, to announce light, to announce glory. You and I will be part of it. I prophesy she will not be left out in the name of Jesus. She will not be left out in the name of Jesus. Hey, child of God, the Bible says, they that are received eternal life and the gift of righteousness, they shall reign in life. Two ways to reign: by wisdom and power.
Reign. Reign. Until my only guess is you, Spirit keep brooding over us, till we look just like you. Anamane kabaya gabaroba shatela bababash. Until I only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over us, till we look just like you. Alemane kabaya gabababababash. Until I only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over us.
Thank you, Jesus. Get your pen and your paper, write these few things that will help you. These areas I'm going to discuss right now. How we will rule and reign. The structures that we need to put in place so that we can rule and reign as things are happening. Number one, this is a natural law that people use everywhere around the universe. But many believers are very careless. We don't want to apply it. And it is a law that God has put in place in the universe. If God wants to change the life of a person, this is the first thing that God will begin to do in the life of that person. When it comes to the aspect of wisdom, when God wants to change your life, write it now. The law of vision and purpose. The law of vision and purpose. The law of vision and purpose. I have a book, The Journey. Prepare yourself. We are re-editing the book. It's going to come out. You need to read it again so that you can discover God's purpose. There is a general purpose for God creating you. There's a unique, specific purpose that only you were designed to achieve. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when purpose is not known, the abuse of a thing is inevitable. Purpose is the center of life. Purpose is the essence of everything. When the purpose of a man's life opens up, the man's destiny has just opened up. You can live here for 50 years, and life without purpose is useless and not worth living. Because God says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, that we are God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus. Because God has seen some good works in the future, so he created you now. You will go to school. You will learn a trade. You will have a job. Then you'll be growing into the fullness. You will come to the realization of Jesus. Not just to know Jesus and sit down in the church. Not just to know Jesus and just sit down empty. No, the essence of knowing Jesus, there are good works in business, in politics, in sports, in entertainment, in art, in culture shift that God wants to do. And he said, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that God has already ordained that we will walk in it. And includes the work of ministry and the work that they call secular now. There are many things that many of us are supposed to arise and take our place there. The devil doesn't want it to happen. And that's why the message is being suppressed by different people who say, no, that's not it. Child of God, there must be a balance to everything. God is calling us as believers to rise up and take our place. So that as we are seeing things, he will begin to show us how to correct things. There will be culture shifts. As they are taking it this direction, God will say, no, take it this direction. And all of a sudden, when they see light coming our own direction, they'll begin to follow us. They say, no, let's take it this way. Let people be naked. And God says, I will raise fashion designers after my heart. It is not the money they pay them that will pay them. I will give them sources so that they can trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding. In all their ways, they will acknowledge me and I will direct their path.
and God will begin to reclothe humanity through the church. God will begin to redesign culture, contents through the church. God will begin to rearrange and restructure things through the church. When they bring a particular thing that negates the principle of God, God will raise an icon in the church. You will reconstruct the content, and you will discover that all of a sudden, your content that is pushed out will sweep that one off. And many people who thought they saw light, they will know they have been in darkness, because Jesus is the light. A city set on the hill, he said, we are, and we cannot be hidden. Get ready for the move. It will happen. So press into the discovery of your purpose. Don't live your life just like that. And tomorrow morning when we begin to pray, you start praying clarity of purpose. God, show me why I am here. Why am I here? I am not here as a number. Can you pray it a little bit in 1 minute? Lord, reveal to me. Let the purpose begin to go clear. Let it become clearer and clearer why I am here. Let it become clearer and clearer why I am here. Because one of the instruments of the discovery of purpose is prayer. Jesus, show me why I am here. Show me why I am here. Show me why I am here. I align with your plan. I align with your purposes. I align. For in your purpose, we discover our purpose. In your purpose, we discover our purpose. In your plan, we realize our plan. We align with your plan across the 7 mountains of influence and beyond. We align with your purpose. No one will live an ordinary life. No one will live a cheap life. No one will live a small life. Jesus, your sons and daughters arise. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. We'll break every chain. Break every chain. Every chain of darkness, chain of confusion in the world, purposelessness. We break it. We break it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Sit up a little bit. Sit up a little bit. Purpose, write it down. You'll go and do a lot of work on it. The Bible says, and after David has served God's purpose in his generation, he put his leg on his bed and he slept and went to meet his ancestors. The Bible says, for this purpose, the Son of Man was made manifest, that he would destroy the works of darkness. God had to raise certain women from purpose to become supporters for the ministry of Jesus Christ. If not, he would have been stranded. There are certain people, God has told me, and I told you that yesterday, he will build them, they will build businesses, and they will dedicate certain businesses just for the gospel. I saw it with my eyes, and it will come to pass. Sons and daughters will rise. They will come and say, Pastor, that thing you said, so time, I have built 5 businesses, 10 businesses, 12, 2, and this one is for that purpose you mentioned, that the purpose of God will be established. Do you know how much people give to fund ISIS, Boko Haram, and provide weapons and all manner of deadly and demonic things? Men, they are sponsors. Institutions, sponsors. And the only way for God to do it is through you and I. And that's why we will not relax. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Number 2 is the power of vision. Vision. Vision is a clear mental picture of a future. And the vision I'm talking about is not just the mental picture of what you think. It's a mental picture of what is in the heart of God concerning you. And that's why anybody can have a vision. But the vision that the child of God has is different. The vision has to be Christocentric. It might be a secular job vision, but the plan and the purpose of that vision is so that it will bring light to men eventually at the end. Habakkuk chapter 2, he says, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets. Write the vision, make it plain upon tablets. Convert that your business to vision. It's not for you to just eat and drink and die. Put that thing you are doing, that gift, that hobby, that skill. God did not give you any gift, any talent. God did not send you to study anything for fun. What you are doing in a cheap way, turn it into a vision. Give it a 10-year plan. Give it a 20-year plan. Give it a 30-year plan. One of the mechanisms with which God moves the life of people from glory to glory is a picture. If you cannot see it, you cannot handle it. anything you have not seen, you cannot enter into. If you enter into it by mistake, you will jump out by mistake. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Go back. And that thing that you are doing in 2025, turn it into a vision. It might be a small business, but look at it and stop seeing it as a hobby. Stop seeing it as a platform to feed yourself. Start seeing it as a vision that God will use as an instrument to turn things. It might be food. It might be clothing. Whatever it is, find the God part of it where God will be glorified. If the resources and the funds will be to the glory of God, tell God what it should look like. He wants your life to be comfortable so that his business, his comfort, his own business too will advance. And that's why he will prosper it. In the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men will see what? Visions. So part of what the Holy Spirit has come to do in your life is to give you visions. A visionary encounter. And the visions I'm talking about now, it doesn't have to do with vision of, oh, I saw two spirits. I saw a monster. If you see spirits and see monsters and angels, what did they do to you? They should be teaching you something. Because spirits and immortals, when they appear to men, they give them insight. An angel appeared to Daniel and he said, I have come to give you understanding. That's why you see. So you cannot just see something in a vacuum and say, I just saw it. What did that? What happened? What encounter did you have after you saw it? When John the Baptist, the father saw an angel, an encounter that gave birth to a son came out of it. When Gideon met an angel, an encounter that led to conquering a territory came out of it. What will come out of your visionary encounters? And that's a dimension of vision. There's a dimension of vision that you start seeing businesses and how they will look like in 20 years. You start seeing structures and how they will be built. Then you start putting things in place. The Bible says by wise planning. If God gives you a vision, there is a way to get to that place. The way to get it is called planning. Many believers don't plan. The people of this world, they will finish their end of the year. They have planned 10 years of their business, 20 years of their business, 40 years of their business. Then a Christian is running a business and he wants to stay in a very local zone. Do it in a cheap way, an ordinary way. Never. You must see into the future. As I began to pray, I said, God, these 100 million souls that we are talking, I don't want to chant it. What will I do? He said, it is a vision. Sit down and plan it. And he began to tell me some of the things which I'll share in that service. This. If you do it and you effectively stick to it, it will come to pass. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. He said it will not tarry. Though it tarry, wait. It will not tarry. In other words, what is tarrying in your time? It is not tarrying because God's time is the best. It's not tarrying. Write those two things down. They will help you. I can't explain them for time's sake. Jesus manifested the same thing. If you look at the Bible, Jesus was a man of vision. And that's why when people say it is a secular wisdom, vision, I tell them it's not secular. It is biblical. It is the way God created the heaven and the earth. He said, the things which you now see, they did not come from things that are seen. God had the vision of the heaven and the earth in his heart. Then he worked it out. And he wants his sons and daughters to also have vision in their hearts and work it out. And that's why God gave vision to men. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Don't live your life without vision. You're just looking for how you will marry one guy, he'll be feeding you, and you have children. And you'll be carrying water bottle everywhere and feeding bottle. Stop that rubbish. That is not a life. That is not a life. That is a wasted life. If your calling is to raise children, what would the children become? That might be a vision. Because God will give some people vision for parenting on how to raise children. And they will pass it on to nations. And children will be raised. And parenting will become the easiest thing in the world. Because people will rise from Zion that will redefine parenting. That's a vision. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Yes. Define your purpose and remain steadfast to it. Stop doing it up and down. Be distracted. Ordinary phone is distracting you. Every small thing, your friend is calling you here and there. You can't go far like that. Look at people. They go to places and they stay in seclusion and they begin to press. That is why the monks achieved a lot. The monks, when they stay alone, in the secret place of staying alone, meditation, deep thoughts will be coming into your heart. The Bible says a man, having separated himself, intermittent with all manner of wisdom. My spirit is fired up. My heart indicts a good matter for somebody here today. You will not miss out on this. When God gives you a vision, he puts it in your heart. Then you use the vision to inspire others. The purpose of vision is to create inspiration. When inspiration is created, men begin to follow. Because if you are leading and nobody is following, you are taking a stroll. Are we here together? Go and look at that business again. Go and look at that car. Go and look at that music. Go and look at that thing. I begin to turn it into a business. A vision. And in a vision, there is a business. You must understand. Number two,
laws that people apply in secular systems that they try to intimidate us with is the law of leadership. Leadership. Write it down. Leadership. Why businesses and institutions grow is because of the power of leadership. Mark chapter 6 verse 7. The Bible says, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. Great leaders build teams, empower others, and lead by example. Great leaders build teams, empower others, and they lead by example. You see why things are growing. Everything rises and falls on what? Leadership. If an organization is working, it's quality of leadership. Don't sit down there and think everything will happen. Start reading books on leadership. Start studying the art of leadership. Start understanding how you can become a better leader. Part of the books that I said I was going to recommend for you is The Atomic Habits. Go and read it. 80-20 Principle. Go and read it. Find those things. Sit down with them and start searching. You want to read Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, read it. You want to read Miles Murrow's book, John C. Maxwell's book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, read it. Sit down there, read it. Miles Murrow's book, The Power of Vision, personal and corporate vision. Some people have personal vision that is interfering with corporate vision. They don't know how to run. Miles Murrow thought both personal and corporate, how you can run with it and still achieve a goal. Read it. Knowledge is power. There's a dimension of God's power that is wisdom. If you have it, you will reign and rule. Am I communicating here? Jesus built a team, selected 12, trained them for 3.5 years, and gave them assignments. Servant leadership. Lead with all humility, simplicity of heart. Every time people begin to lead by example, you have massive followership. But when you are leading as a tyrant, there might be followers, but you are leading them to destruction and doom. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? Yes. Put the power of mentorship to it. Let somebody guide you. Let somebody guide you and show you the way. You can't run by yourself. What people do, fathers are feathers. Mentors are ladders. You must maximize it. The people of the world know how to do it. They will show you how they have this, how they have that, who's guiding them. Then somebody's in church. He say, I just like my own space. I don't like to discuss anything with anybody. You want to die like that? If you don't talk to anybody, you might end up a nobody. There's something that God has put inside of people so that you can tap from that source and it will help you rise. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Because of time, let's move. I will teach you these things one by one later as God gives us the grace and permits us. Number three, the power, the law of diligence and consistency. Write it down. You go. These things I'm teaching you, when you start reading some of the books, you start seeing them. Law of diligence and consistency. Seest thou a man diligent in his work? He shall be presented before kings and not men. Listen, if an arm robber is diligent as an arm robber, he will make money as an arm robber. Diligence is a principle that beats whatever it is you are in your religion. If a person is diligent as a witch doctor, he will rise in the witchcraft and be the head of all the witches. Diligence is a natural principle that you must be willing to put in place. If you are not diligent, some of us, we don't understand these things. All through this meeting, some people will just sit down. You know, you're just sleeping. I've hardly slept the way I should sleep in these meetings. Because when I go back, these things don't come from the moon. I was not praying, and by revelation, Angel Michael gave me a scroll. I searched it out. I read, I studied, I read, I prayed, I stand, I read, I studied. Angel Michael did not give me a scroll. You will study what? Kaori and my passive. You sweat your brain out. Some things you don't understand, you consult this, you chant this, you check this writer, you check this author. Why is this one contradicting this? What is the basis? Holy Spirit, give me light. You contend for great dimension of light so that you can rule your world. Sit down there. Just sit down here. You are in this service, Oxano Choir. You have not written any song. You are sleeping. Never written anything. You are a business person. You have not taken anything in this meeting. You are joking. When God is speaking and your heart is open, He will be interpreting it in the area of your own calling. I can stay here and talk about something now, and somebody will get an idea on a book to write tomorrow. That's how God works. When the message of the gospel is being preached, it is not just preached for empty. Somebody can catch a vision for parenting as I'm talking right now. You know what? What we do, we feed nations when we get from the source. If your channels of your spirit are not open, you don't receive anything. If you came to this meeting with expectation and say, God, in this meeting, I want to get idea about concepts of content creation from what pastor is saying, as you will be shocked at what your life will look like. But there's no target. You just came to do and fall down on the floor. Stop that rubbish. That's not what we came here to do alone. When you fall down on the floor, you should have an encounter. When you stand up, your life will rise. You fell down, you stood up, you see the same thing. Why? What did you fall for? The essence of the falling is that the power of God hits you and you came on your knees. Then there you had an encounter. You stood up and your character changed. You fell 20 times, 3 times, you're still using the same bad language, you're still misbehaving. What's the fall for? Are there times where their power, yes, it happens. But I've seen genuinely when people fall under the unction of the anointing, when they stand up, they have become a different person. People move under the, because there's an influence of the spirit that you cannot control. That's true. But what it does is that it is tearing all your hidden potentials, driving out all the devils that are hitting everything that should manifest and bringing you into light. Sometimes when people are falling, it's not any demon, it's a stirring of big things inside them that they cannot contain. Because when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, like Samson, when he shakes Samson like this, he will go and carry a lion. When the power of God shakes you, what did you carry? There are mountains to conquer. There are lions to devour. So when you are moved under the unction of the anointing, there is something to do with it. Is anybody get what I'm saying here? The power of diligence is powerful. Don't be a lazy person. 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 Lazy people will die in poverty. The rich relate over the poor. The borrower is servant to the lender. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to rest, poverty will come upon somebody. Don't be a lazy person. If an unbeliever is very hardworking, he will do so well and he will surpass you. Forget whatever it is that you think you have done. God has shown us in scripture. Jesus said, I am about my Father's business. I must walk when there is day, for the night cometh where no man can walk. He was walking every day, walking tirelessly. The Bible says at a particular point, he walked so much, he needed to go and rest. He will go and take rest. He has walked. People will walk for 6 days and rest for 1 day. You walk for 1 day, you press your phone for 6 days. You need to reanalyze this faith. You need to reanalyze and know that in this kingdom, there's work to do. 2025, a God version of you will emerge. A glorious version of you will emerge. Some of you, the reason why God has kept you in that company is so that you can study the template and the structure of that company. Because a company 10 times that size is about to come out of you. Yes. You need to know what God is putting you in a place for. And know what God is trying to structure in your life. God is teaching you some things. Sometimes people come around and they observe things. And you're working with Pastor. Oh, I'm working with Pastor Mavis. What are you learning? What are you seeing? You must be watching something. You must be seeing. You learn by observation. So, okay, look at this, look at this, look at this. Because there might be a grace inside of you to do times 20. Of that thing. Does anybody get what I'm saying here? The next one around diligence is consistency. Can I tell you, nothing will ever, I'll talk about that tomorrow when I talk another dimension of the power of God in the morning. I'll talk about that. Consistency. A young girl gets naked pictures and she's consistently posting it every day by 12, 4, 12, 4. The Instagram algorithm or the YouTube will pick it. And all of a sudden, they are seeing content. They are dragging traffic into our page. Then you are a believer. You are sitting down there. Nothing to do. You are not consistent. We post one today. 2 weeks' time. When people have forgotten that you exist, you post another one. And those people have made that in their lifetime job. Because that is a job. That is a calling. That's an appointment. You carry a phone. Post one. Tomorrow, nothing. Next week, nothing. Another 1 month. Nobody will ever follow you. Listen. There is a power of God that is inside consistency. Consistency can break a rock. If you put a water and it begins to drop on a particular place for a long time, watch the impact of that water after 2 years. You'll be shocked to know that that little drop of water that has no weight, very soon it will open and dig a hole in that place. The reason we have never gone far, we have not explored the hidden power of consistency. Daniel would have given up. He started praying from day one. The answer was released. Daniel stayed there day two. He was consistent day 3. He was consistent day 10. You started fasting and prayer. He said, small thing. He said, I was feeling dizzy. Is that how they take mountains? When you were feeling dizzy, you drank water or you ate something, go back to prayer. Go back, continue to pray. Because of dizziness, you left both the prayer and the fasting. If your body doesn't carry the fasting after a while, start eating but continue praying. Men always ought to pray and not to faint. It's the consistency that matters. Consistency. What are you doing every day that will take you to the next phase of your life in 10 years? What is it that you are doing now every day? when I started teaching and preaching, the first time I spoke to a public like this, large, in my school, then I was giving a speech. I saw how I was shaking my leg. I'll be talking, my mouth to be moving. Anywhere now, even if they like, let the president of the whole world sit there. If I talk, if I hold this mic and I'm talking this Jesus, he will think he's a lion he's talking to. Because over the years, it's not just by the anointing alone. Consistent practice. Consistent practice. Consistent practice. I have done it again and again, so much that I have mastered my stage. And if I'm given an opportunity, I know what to do and how to do it. Consistency will give you what you need. Write it down and go and check more about it and start practicing it. It will help you. These are the principles these guys apply. They call these secular principles. Who told you it's secular? They are kingdom principles for a better life. And Jesus showed consistency in prayer. John 15:17. My Father is always at work. And this is very... And to this day, I... Look at what he said. John 15:17. Put it there. John 5:17. I like the way he put it there. John 5:17. Look at what he says. Fast. We don't have time. Let's move to another thing. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working till when? Is God still working? Is he still answering prayers? Is he still healing the sick? Is he still making things happen? Is he supervising the whole earth? Jesus said, my Father is still working until now, and I have been working. You, what are you doing? Sleeping. These things are principles of the kingdom. They are God's word. They are the things that I hear. We have to practice it. Jesus preached, healed, thought tirelessly. Never allow laziness to eat your future. Never allow laziness to eat your future. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will pray. You are getting your prayer points already. Be writing down your prayer points, because when we start praying tomorrow, there will be a 30 minutes. Nobody will give any prayer point. You will stay there. Every devil of procrastination and laziness trying to eat my future. Every spirit that has said I will not be consistent by the power of distractions. I declare that I develop a discipline that is unbeatable. Because discipline is you that put your body under subjection. Discipline is your work. You throw away the distraction. You cast it away. Paul said, I put my body under subjection. I cannot control. What do I do when I have urge? This is what you do. Discipline your body. This is 11:19. Please help me. As soon as 11:30, I'll stop. I'll mention them. You can go and read more. There's so many things in my spirit. By God's grace, next year we are going to continue. Yes. God has given me the theme for next year already. Tomorrow I will announce it to us. It's going to be a glorious encounter. Every time you come for Oxano, you know you are in for an encounter. Yes. 20 days of glory has its own dimension. Some people ignored Oxano. They didn't know what it is. If they had known. The law of wisdom. You know, the people of the world, the Bible says that the Greeks, they always seek after wisdom. And people think that the Greeks are the foundation of wisdom. They are not. Christ is made unto us wisdom. Wisdom is something that you must press for. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? How does wisdom come? Number one, the fear of God is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Then number two, wisdom comes from insight, light, revelation. That means you will read books. You will study. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. In other words, where knowledge does not exist, wisdom cannot be applied. So what books are you going to read next year? Wisdom comes from different sources, from books. Wisdom comes from mentors and their experience. These are channels of wisdom. You read books. Daniel said, by books I understood that the captivity, the period has expired. Why are we still here? It is by wisdom you will know that what you are calling process is now a delay. Yes. By wisdom. You want to build a school, an institution, an organization to structure things well. The people of this world are created very natural wisdom. They understand that in their company, they will have operations, they will have sales, they will have marketing, they will have this. But in the people of the kingdom, you are just shocked to know that you put people in places, they are not willing to dig deep to press into knowledge. The reason why some people rise in some organization, apart from the training that the organization made available to them, they go extra mile. And when the organization sees that they have it, they make them the head. They make them the head. That's how people rise. Wisdom makes people go up. Wisdom makes people go up. If you want to go up in life, you must be a custodian of wisdom. Wisdom was what gave Joseph a place in the whole of Egypt. The Bible says, the Pharaoh said, can we find such a wise man in whom the wisdom of the gods lie in? Who can find? He said, let them look for him in the whole province. That's what Daniel said. You are going to look for a wise man. He told them. He said, you will need a wise man that is a solid administrator to run. Then he said, can we find such? He said, there is a man in that. No, not Daniel. Joseph. Go to Genesis. He was telling Joseph. He was telling Pharaoh that they would need to look for a wise man that will handle all this matter after he interpreted the dream. Then Pharaoh looked at him and said, we should go and be looking for. When you are here, you are asking us to. How many of you have suggested a problem before in a place? And they say, for you to know this kind of thing, you are supposed to solve this problem. And because of that, they put you in position, and unknown to you, they're about to increase your salary to raise your life. Some people say, I know it, but I'll not say it. What you have not said is what has kept you sitting down. If you have said it, they will tell you, stand up. Come and eat with the kings. Come and eat with the kings. They would have called you. Wisdom is profitable to direct. There is wisdom for financial prosperity. The people of this world, they understand it too. Eh? They understand it too. They know every business they do, corporate social responsibility or whatever, they have charity to the poor. They take a percentage. They know that everything that comes from a business cannot be eaten by that business. Everything that comes to a person cannot be eaten by that person. They know that there are seeds. Some things are seeds. They will now practice it and do some things, and they will rise high in their finances. You don't know there's wisdom for financial prosperity. You think it jumps on people. There is the wisdom of savings. There's the wisdom of budgeting. There's the wisdom of financial planning. There's the wisdom of having, you know, having what they call it now. Financial fitness. Let me begin to remember everything. Go and buy a book. There are books there. Buy it. Buy it and read it and read it and read it until light comes into your heart. There's wisdom. People don't just become wealthy by chance. In fact, to be wealthy can be easy. To sustain wealth is harder. So there's wisdom for sustaining wealth. Am I helping somebody in this service? All the dimensions of God's wisdom, there are so much. Wisdom for parenting, wisdom for managing relationships. All of them, they are the power of God. Though. Because if you read through scripture, you find answers. All this. So whenever we talk power, somebody is thinking that it's just bam, bam. This one is bam into your heart, into your mind, into light will come. And you will sit on in high places and start ruling and reigning. How many of you have heard of the law that they talk about in the universe? They call it the law of attraction, that what you believe. Napoleon Hill said, what the mind conceives and man believes, he can achieve. Have you heard that before? Does that not look like the law of faith? That is faith. With the heart, man believes. With the mouth, confession is made. The law of universe, magnetism, says that when you begin to say something, whatever you say, you begin to attract. Is it not in the Bible? Because the universe was created by the whole world. That's why witchcrafts and demons, listen, witchcraft and demons came. All those things the herbalists in your village usually say, who taught them? You are joking. Is there a witchcraft? Is there a school that they established that usually teach people how to perform? Do you think that those things, they always happen? Is there a school where they teach those things? And one man will sit and he has learned. Where did the first person learn that thing from? A demon came one day and said that if you make this, even white witches do it in America, they have chance. Have you not seen their movies? When you say this word, Af, Kabas, Kabas, Kabasta, say it 22 times, something will appear. Boom, and it is true. Say it and see now, whether it will not appear. You know why? There is a supernatural realm that they use words to conjure spirits. When I stand here and I was praying yesterday and God opened my eyes while the worship was going on, as he was worshiping yesterday, God said to me that I want to deal with demons and devils that have to do with the mind. Immediately I had to enter the realms of wisdom. I know what must I do to get the names of those devils now. I began to walk. Immediately I got it, I came up here. When I was talking, you think I was talking to the chairs and the tables? The people I was talking to, you think they don't know me? You think they don't know, hear the voice? Strangers will hear my voice and they will come out of their hiding places. Those things are their jokes. So people will sit down and they will conjoin. They will say 3 lines, 5 times, 20 times. That's the same person you are working with in the office. And somebody gave him something. We were here on the meeting and a man was saying that he went to bid for something. Another unbeliever came. And when it was time, he entered the toilet. He was now discussing to Baba. Baba was now reciting it. Oh yeah, Sokwe, you will now say it. Then the guy heard it and he's a Christian. So when he heard it, he said, ah, listen there. He will now speak in tongues. Leko soka ta 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 ta. The guy will stop. the guy is wondering. The guy will start again. Ah, Baba, any control one by don't parry one ejo. Tupe. As Baba is doing,
Ruka Sakapaya, Bebe Nekete.
The guy got frustrated, banged the door and left. And this guy came out. He said, yes, for this purpose we were born, to destroy the works of darkness. You cannot sit down and just go out anyhow and win. You must have a place where you sit down. And God has given us our own language that we can do our own incantations. You stay there. And some forces that were hanging on the road, they will be waiting there. And while you are doing it, something will distract them. They will leave. You will pass the same place others passed and died. And nothing happened to you. Because you are walking in the realms of power. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Don't joke with what God wants to do. There are great things. Two laws and I will close. I have 3 minutes. The next one is the law of connection. Network. You need people. The people of this world understand the power of using and working with people. They understand the power of networks. Network is not just a natural law. You need people in your life. Jesus did the same thing. He got 12 disciples. He had Joseph of Arimathea. He had the wife of Chuza and the other ladies. They were influential people. He knew the different classes of people that he would need in his life for him to rule and to reign. Who do you have? Who are your friends? You are still hanging around somebody that is talking boyfriend and girlfriend every day. Well, you should be looking for people that are talking correct things for their destiny. You are hanging around a woman that is gossiping in the compound. Where you should look for a circle where it looks as if you are the person who is daft and they have intelligence and you are learning correct things. In the midst of the people that you are the wisest person there. You better come out of that circle and move forward. Anytime you are in a place and you are in the wisest in that gathering, it doesn't mean you are leaving them completely. But look for another circle that you can feed from. Then you feed them. Then they will look at you. And those that called you mate will call you mentor. No matter of time. Change your circle. Start working. Are you getting what I'm saying here? 2025 is here. Start checking and ask yourself, what are the kind of people I want to grow with? Look for how you will grow with people that are intellectuals. Look for how you will grow with people that have influence. Look for how you will grow with people that have a say. Because if you don't grow with people that have a say, your life may never have a say. God, Jesus did it and it worked for him. Jesus would have died and there would be nobody to really bury him. But Joseph of Arimathea stood up. It was the community counselor. The politician there, he went to them and he said, give me the body. They said, ah, sir, we can't refuse you the body because of who you are. He said, yes, I have a tomb where I will bury this man. And he collected the body of Jesus Christ and put it in the tomb so that prophecy will be fulfilled. Because in the book of Psalms, he already prophesied that he will be lying in a rich man's tomb, a tomb wherein nobody has slept. It would take a Joseph of Arimathea's relationship with Jesus to bring about that prophecy. Some prophecies will never be fulfilled in your life until you connect with certain people. Part of the things that delay the fulfillment of prophecy is the association that you are in. And the last one is the law of honor. I've taught you many things in bits today. Hold on to them. Law of honor. Oh, Jesus. 1 minute. What can I say in 1 minute for law of honor? Honor opens doors. Honor opens doors. Listen. Matthew chapter 3 from verse 13 to 15. Then Jesus came to Galilee of Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus Christ, being God himself, humbled himself and honored John the Baptist. Because the Bible had already said he is the forerunner. That means he's the one ahead of you. Whichever way you calculate it, John the Baptist is ahead. The only way Jesus can be ahead of John the Baptist is for him to submit to the purpose of John the Baptist in his life. As soon as he submitted, instead of him to say, me, John the Baptist, look at you. Do you know what I can do? Yesterday, there was no oil in the house. I used oil to fry egg. I used water to fry egg. Yesterday in the house, there was no gas. When my mother wanted to cook, I just poked fire to the ground and we ate beans. I will now bow to you. What miracle have you done, John the Baptist? Because at that time, John the Baptist had not done any miracle. The only thing he was doing was touching the heart of people. He did not do one physical miracle that people will see. And Jesus had already started doing some small, small things on the ground before he did his public. The Bible says, this be the beginning of miracles that Jesus did. That was a public one and manifested his glory. But he saw John the Baptist and understanding that scripture has to be fulfilled, knowing the power of the law of honor, he knelt down. Some of you who you should kneel down for, you are standing shoulder to shoulder, you will be knocked down. You need to learn how to kneel for some people. If you don't learn how to kneel, you will never be able to rise. In secular settings, they practice it. In the kingdom of darkness, they know law of honor. There are certain demons that cannot cross their boundary. Because if you cross that boundary, they will put you on suspension and detention for a long time. You will not function. Then you come to the kingdom of light. Somebody has a leader over you. When you are going out, you will not take excuse. You will not be around. You will not say anything. You will come around. You just be jumping up and down in the kingdom. Who does it in the secular space in the office? It is the law of honor they are practicing. They honor their principles. They honor their laws. They honor the system that governs the organization. So they follow the procedure. And when anything is done, if they put sanction, you will not be angry. Even if you are angry, you will stay there. If it happens in church, people will sit down at the back. The pastor don't vest like this. Girls like this. And any person you speak about behind, especially when he's in this kingdom, you cannot receive anything from. Don't waste your time. Honor is powerful. John the Baptist submitted. Elisha submitted to Elijah. These are principles that are in the Bible. They are principles for greatness. Somebody had to train another person. In all organizations in the world right now, they have a chain of command in their organogram. And they honor whoever is supposed to be in what position, regardless of their age. Since we pastor pour oil for this one, they misbehave. You're talking to a pastor like that. That oil upon his head can stand against you. Don't you know that? If somebody has been ordained for a particular purpose, respect that. And it doesn't mean that the pastor yourself too will now be proud. And say, see, listen, do you know that they have anointed me? No, it's not like that. Whoever is in the seat of honor must honor himself. Remember what the Bible says. Listen, Kai. Help me carry this thing so that I'll be seeing that I should be out of here. Just hold it like this. Because if I'm seeing this thing like this, it's the way it's doing me. Listen. The reason many marriages are where they are is because women that cannot honor their wives and men who do not value and honor what their wives do. That's why they are fighting every day. That's why they are quarreling. That's why there's problem. Do you know that as respect is reciprocal, honor also can be reciprocal in some kind of relationships? Yes, honor can be reciprocal too in some kind of relationships. But it is for the lesser person to first of all put their position of honor and show it well. You cannot debate anything with your boss in the office, in the public. You can present a suggestion. You can present a perspective. But you cannot counter your boss directly and say, sir, I want to say something. Sorry to say what you are saying is wrong. They will not invite you for a meeting the next time. It's honor. The people of the world practice it and they understand it. It makes their business and institution grow. A young boy is serving his boss. And when he's serving his boss, anything the boss says, he will do. Then a Christian boss has boys and girls serving you. And you are pampering them and managing them. Very soon, they will scatter everything. Everybody must stay where they belong. If you don't stay here, you walk out of here. Somebody's head will open. And you teach the person the principle of honor. That what seed you sow is the harvest that you will reap. If you don't do right, you get wrong. You will see that everything begins to change. Honor is powerful. Don't joke with it. Don't joke with it. If your younger brother is a pastor and you see him as your younger brother, you will never get any spiritual thing from him. The day you begin to see him as a pastor, the grace of a prophet, the same thing that works for others will start working in your life. It is called honor. He that sees a man of God and honors him in the name of a man of God shall receive the blessings of that man. But if he calls him my bro, how far? Is your bro? No problem. My G. And you know that that person is supposed to be honored. There are some dimensions that you will never be able to enter into. Rise up on your feet, let us.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.